If a gazelle and a shark love each other very, very deeply, who are we to say that it is wrong? This is Frank. How's it going, Frank?
It's going so well, man.
Awesome.
It's going so good.
This yeah. Good.
My father was a shark. My mother was a gazelle.
That's what I thought. So yeah. It's perfect that we started there.
20-year age difference. A little more, actually. Oh, pretty man. Crazy.
That is pretty
That's
crazy.
That's why he's deceased now.
So did you start taking meds to get rid of the fin, or did you just...
No, man.
Get it.
It's on there.
it's on there.
I just can't turn to the side the whole episode.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Totally fine.
We saw that.
Gazelles have very good posture, though, so...
Social media, yeah, man. Okay. Social media gets you caught every time. Yeah. Someone's got a camera on.
Frank is a musician, man.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours...
Mm-hmm.
He got work off for this.
Yes. I got work off for this.
Yes.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I feel honored.
Yeah, I do as well.
I feel honored, guys.
Awesome.
Let's just rub each other's bellies.
That's oversatisfied.
Yeah.
Again?
That was before the cameras were rolling, Stevie.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So,
is that going to be a Me Too?
Yes.
Don't know. That's rough.
Well, I mean, 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gonna be
I'm
me too.
I'm coming for you guys.
Wait, no, I was gonna.
Oh,
I was gonna me too you.
Could
actually.
You do that to each other? Could you me too each other?
I think so.
Not to trivialize the movement, but could you me too each other?
Well, we're not trivializing the movement. We're trivializing our own intelligence.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we're really like talking about planning a Me Too movement mm-hmm. 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably don't do that.
I'd imagine in general, no.
That's probably the whole thing about it, right?
Is that it's genuine?
It's true.
If it's not genuine, it's like, what's the point? Yeah.
I don't even know what Me Too is.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh.
Well, I wish I was you now then. Because I don't want to know about anything anymore. Because you know too much about everything.
Yeah,
it's
it is
constant.
A little. It is a little depressing. Yeah. But yeah, basically the,
I don't want to know.
Context of the Me Too movement is... I don't remember the first one, but basically someone came out and said, hey, this famous person, like, raped me this many years ago.
Did something.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And then someone else did a hashtag Me Too saying, yeah, that happened to me as well.
Uh-huh.
So, like, it kind of, like, picked up. So now everybody's doing these hashtag Me Too things. And some of them are very believable and very probably accurate. Some of them... are
I love this. I love watching like somebody having to be super careful.
I'm not being careful.
Oh, really?
Not at all.
Oh, good. I don't like... I'm sorry, Dan.
No, you're good.
No,
you're
it's good.
Good.
It's good.
No, I was just going to say, like, the one with Aziz Ansari, that's BS.
It was a bad date.
It was a bad date, and you can't Me Too that. That trivializes me, too. Like, that's not... Thanks, man.
That was beautiful, man.
It. Yeah,
you
thanks.
Should take that downtown.
I will.
That was great. I don't know what that was, man.
I don't know either. I'm barely here right now.
Well, I appreciate you guys sparing me from, because at first I'm like, I'm out of this, and I should do some research, and now I'm going to spare myself.
So you can do some research.
Well, he said he wished he didn't know, so.
Well,
I just don't understand why everybody has to... help everybody with everybody's problems.
Right.
I think it's a better way to do it. Like, of course, there are egregious instances where you go, okay, send in the army, you know, sure. But can't we just try to make our lives better locally first? And then if that doesn't work, then we go to, like, national, you know. I don't know. It's just a weird,
well,
it's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing. I feel like we want to skip steps as humans.
Man.
And so that's kind of what it's turning into, like, rather than resolving it in the easiest way first, we want to make it a huge
debacle. It takes hard
debacle.
Work to resolve it yourself.
I think that it when does. You're trying to prove something about yourself that's not true, especially if it's like a character trait or like integrity, you're going to do these like big actions or events, but like then it's not real in your life, like with your friends, like with your neighbors.
Right.
So I think... that were like that a lot. Oh, there's injustice going on over there. You know, we're going to jump on that, like, because this is who we are. But
well, it's one of those
I hate everybody around me. Like, and I don't care about anyone. Like, oh, that dude just got beat up and he's dying. Well, not my problem. Mm-hmm. But this group over here, I'm going to jump on it, you know?
Yeah, I'm very largely, you know what? I'm not going to get into it. I'm just gonna, because I will rant. And this is not that kind of rant. If it was a different kind of podcast, then that would be fine.
What is this podcast about?
I think it's about music or something.
And philosophy.
Yeah, okay, that's true. It's a marriage.
I like that.
We often talk about music more than philosophy, but to me, they're very much intertwined because a song containing lyrics should contain the philosophy of the individual or a philosophy of the individual writing the song or even just a philosophy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even that statement that I just made kind of applies to that because it's like, I think a lot of people write songs about things they want to be interpreted a certain way, but that's really not who they are at all.
Mm.
And so, I mean, that applies. That applies. That's why we've been talking about vulnerability and transparency.
Is that what we talked about, rubbing each other's bellies?
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is
making ourselves vulnerable.
This is real friendship.
We're vulnerable guys.
We're not looking at a group of people that are like, hey, don't have our bellies rubbed. We're going to rub your belly because no one else is. No, we're going to start here, intimately together.
That's right.
Right? And then
yep.
People are like, man, they're enjoying something intimate over there. I want to be a part of this belly rubbing movement.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's what slam poetry is now.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't been.
I'm not dissing the art form.
Right.
But I've been to a couple slams.
That's a problem,
slams? I think so. Poetry slams. And it does seem like a room full of people going, I'm sad, rub my belly, and I'll rub your belly. And, you know, then everybody's just rubbing each other's bellies. And it's not a personality.
Mm.
Anxiety, depression, these things are not personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And yet... You really ride it to the grave.
Unless very you, interesting. Yeah, unless you identify with it. Like, if you identify super strongly with depression, and it's like you want to be depressed so that you will appear depressed.
Yeah. Oh, this is something I still do occasionally, but I used to do all the time. I've talked to certain people that write, especially stuff like poetry, and they completely find themselves doing this, where... sometimes when there's conflict or something horrible that happens in your life, you can write something out, you can express it artistically, and then it's like that weight's lifted off your shoulders, at least to some degree.
Right?
Because you have something that justifies the suffering you went through. You go, well, if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have this great thing that brings me a lot of meaning. So in a way, it kind of, you know, it's like fixes it.
Right.
But what's interesting is that sometimes if things are going too well in my life, I will deliberately ruin things, kind of subconsciously, but I'll deliberately ruin things. Because I go, if this gets bad, if I have a new problem that I haven't faced before that I totally don't even need to go through, I could just create it. And then, you know, you feel really horrible about yourself. It gives you some material.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a resource.
Quite a cycle.
Like you're playing Catan, you know, and you just need some more sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And you would do anything
mm-hmm.
to get more sheep because you need sheep to progress in the game.
Yeah. Kind of, but I don't believe that in this situation that you actually need sheep.
No, you totally don't.
You're convincing yourself you do. You know, like you said, you're identifying with the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some artists. I'm not going to drop names just because I'm nice like that. But I'm like, you've been talking about your mom for like 4 albums. Like, when are you going to get over it?
Who could you be talking about, Stevie?
I mean, it could be a million different people,
I can't even think of a single one
right?
that would do something like that.
I know, exactly. And that's why I kept it vague like that. But anyway, yes. Like, are you going to get over it? Or are you scared to get over it, right? Because you're so worried about the product you're producing and your popularity because of the result.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't even get over your own anger issue. You can't even get over depression, right? Because, like, no, that's making me money.
It's
like
Well, and if you quit growing as a person and you're trying to write authentically, you quit growing as an artist.
Right.
Like, that, it's inevitable, you know?
That's
and
a
so
good
it,
point.
It really is a thing where you gotta. I have this theory, you know?
That
really, all writing music, well, really creating anything that's an expression of your thoughts, beliefs, or emotions, is supposed to flow out of you as if you're not the one that's, you're not going, all right, I'm going to make this rhyme now or whatever. Mm. You just learn a bunch and you feel a bunch and then you go, ah, and it comes out of you, yeah, you know? Yeah. And that's, the thing is, I think that it's just, it's kind of like martial arts, you know? Mm-hmm. You train a bunch of times. And then when you're in a real fight, just your body naturally, reflexively does that.
Yeah.
Your right? Muscle memory.
Yeah, and it works the same way with your writing. So my theory is, if you become a great person and then write authentically, then you can make great art almost automatically.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that where a lot of people... kind of going back to what you were saying about people intentionally putting themselves through bad situations mm-hmm. for material, I don't think you need to do that. I think that no. you just need to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. And not even like an uncomfortable situation like socially even. I mean like uncomfortable like I've never done this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go do it.
Just keep mm-hmm. living life.
Yeah.
Experiencing yeah. more of reality.
Yeah. I mean life happens. Anyway,
that's like, true.
So things are going to happen to you and we're going to have to work it out. And I'm super honored to be an artist because that platform has been life-saving for me when that happens to me. You know, I have art to like, you know, even mm-hmm. if no one's there to listen, like, you know, I can get this out here. But yeah, life is going to give you plenty of opportunities, you know, yeah. to push yourself in the meantime. But, you know, someone you love is going to die, you know, something's going to happen, a wreck, you know, and...
You're yeah, I think if you avoid processing those things, you're not going to create good art. But I think that a lot of where people go wrong is they don't – it's like they want to milk it, right? So it's like if you're writing a song and you're like, oh, I just really need that emotion, yeah. you know, like I think that that's – it's already not going to be genuine because you're starting from a place of like, I've just got to squeeze all of the anxiety out and all the depression into this rather than just it's happening and you're doing it.
Right. It's kind of like you put yourself on a pedestal before even fans did. You know, like yikes. I feel like it's your art is in the wrong place. You know, like art is an expression of who you are while you're going through that. But if the thing becomes the product that you're, you know, striving for, like, oh, this thing's way up here and I need to – take all the stuff that's happening to me because it's all about this, then...
No, yeah, art reflects life.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, it's not supposed to be the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
Life
right.
is good enough itself. You know, yeah. that's why yeah. everybody that's still alive is still alive. Yeah. So, it, you know.
Yeah. So you had an interesting thought about, and you mentioned cycle earlier, about kind of some of the ways that you see this working in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you want to talk about that a bit?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's kind of just like I'll be seized by something, you know, whether it's a really good mood, really bad mood, like a crushing idea, you know, or whatever. And then you can, okay, so I was telling Justin about this earlier, but I'll just tell this to you now, I guess. I wrote this song a couple months ago called The Sophist, and essentially what it is I pretty consistently have a little guy in my head that I can steer him towards anything, and he just ruins it. You know, he just finds a way to make it seem like the worst thing ever. And, you know, I do that to myself and to other people and all this sort of stuff. And so I went, okay, because it was just all the time. I don't remember what happened that made that the case, but it was just all the time, just this negative dude going, God, this sucks and this is terrible and all this. And I went, okay, well, what if you let this guy write a song? What would he write about? And so then I did that, and it's definitely my most, like, nihilistic, horrifyingly depressing, and it's interesting because I don't believe it at all,
right?
Really,
yeah.
That's why I called it The Sophist. Anybody that knows what sophistry is, it's essentially like an argument that sounds really compelling or convincing. But if you really get into the weeds, you're like, oh, no, that's kind of bull crap.
Right.
You know, but you can use facts and truth to make really bad arguments if you frame it in a certain way.
Yeah.
And so there were I've performed it a couple times just at open mics, or one time I did it at a show at the Bartlett. And most of the time I sing it. You can just feel like a thick soup of, oh, what an arrogant, you know, like in the air.
Right.
Because it is a song where some part of me or some part of my brain just goes, everybody's terrible, everything is terrible, and see if you can convince me otherwise, you know. And so it kind of gets a bit extreme. You know, and it's a bunch of false dichotomies. Oh, if God definitely doesn't exist, that's obviously a retarded thing to think. And then if God does exist, all he did was create us to be his slaves. So what a good guy, you know, like that kind of a thing where you're just like, I'm trying to pin people in a corner where they go, oh, God, oh, no. And that's all I want. I just want to make people feel, man.
Yeah.
I just want to make people feel.
Yeah.
And, uncomfortable is a feeling.
So when you went out with this idea for the song, to let this part of you write this song, was that your goal? Was that like you were like, I want people to feel really uncomfortable?
No, because I'm never thinking about how people are going to react to it while I'm writing.
Right.
I'm just,
but you enjoy it.
Because it's being seen. Like everybody that wants to be a performer has this little... kind of like a little kid in them that's like, hey, guys, I exist, you know.
And that's why we do podcasts.
Yeah, you're just desperately. You're just trying to be like, somebody like me, please, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, of course, there's degrees of vanity to it. But in terms of when I'm just writing it, it's 100% what is the song I want to hear.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how you make good things, because you're not special. Nobody, like, everybody's different.
Yeah, preach.
But
preach,
nobody's really that special. And that's a good thing,
because
humans are incredible. Any human can be awesome.
Exactly.
You know, and so if you went, like, that's what they, anything that's really great, that seems to be the mentality behind it, where the person went, okay, if I wanted to read a book, what would the book be? And then they write it, you know, or
this is
movies.
What I would like to hear or like to see. Or,
like, you know, Final Fantasy, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's how that happened, was this guy ran out of money in his company and went, I have enough to make one more game. I'll just make what I would want to play. And then it blew up, and now there's like 17 of them or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Nuts, you know? And so it's just one of those things where you go, okay, if I thought there was all the good music out there that could be created, I wouldn't write. I'd just listen to it.
Right.
You know? So it's like, just the same way there are new people, there's new expression.
Right. Well, but then again, there is that still that childish part that you said that's like, look at me. So even if it's all great, you're still like, well, I got something to say too.
No, yeah, of course.
You can pop out.
That's the worst, by the way. I'm not trying to talk smack about anybody.
Yeah.
There are, because I go to a lot of open mics downtown, and I've seen some people where you can tell that's 100% of their priority.
Mm-hmm.
It's not interesting. It doesn't sound good. It's not cool. You know, you're not saying anything. It's just here's some song covers. You know, so that people look at the open wound that I am. You know, it's kind of rough.
Yeah, and it's funny that you bring up covers, because I feel like covers can be the best and the worst thing. Because some
completely depends on why for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Why you're doing the cover.
Yeah, some covers are very interesting. And it's like, okay, by turning this song from a major to a minor, it's like you've completely altered like the feel of it. You could slow it down or you could speed it up. You kind of go, okay, I want to do a different spin on this. Like, it still maintains its identity as a song, but it's like you kind of look at it in a different light. I enjoy those covers. Live covers I do struggle a little bit with, because oftentimes when people do live covers, they're just going for a straight, I don't know if you want to say, just like, I'm going to strum the chords.
I still haven't found
yeah.
what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm not a fan of that.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
I've seen that guy before.
I thought you were going to say his name, and I was like, oh, man.
Oh, I don't. He's a hypothetical. He's kind of like a disembodied personality.
Yeah.
That exists in a couple people I've seen more than a tangible person.
Yeah.
That I could slap in the face. If I could. Yeah. What are you doing? You're 28. Stop. Stop it.
That's very specific, man.
Again, there's not a 28-year-old. It's not important. It's not important.
So, yeah, I was thinking about just what you said with, saying these things that you're thinking, and asking people like, hey, prove me wrong in the song. And we've talked about that before, which is kind of what I want to get to with the cycle piece. And I'd mentioned this, but Justin, when I first asked him about his music, he mentioned like the fest where, if you have a festering wound and it gets infected and you got this boil, and I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. Like when you start squeezing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. He's like, we're the pus.
And I'm like, well, okay. Yes.
I get it.
I did say all of that.
It's like a birthing process.
Yeah. It's like, it's not that we're the pus. It's like,
you're the pressure.
The pressure. Yeah. It's like, because like when we write music, it's like,
Yeah.
And so it's like a relief. It's like it's gross. It's nasty.
Well, when you're writing about negative stuff, at least,
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm just in such a good. I'm just like, life is so beautiful.
Yes.
That Then you're just going like, how can I capture this feeling in a song?
And so I'm in that zone right now because the winter was so long. You know what I mean? Like summertime came.
Weather has been awesome.
I'm like, dude, this summertime music is coming out. Here we go again. We're getting on a rabbit trail, bringing it back. But
weather's great.
You know, you have to get those things out. It's like we've said it before. It's like therapy. You know, in therapy, like, not even in therapy, in life, we have to say the lie and the ugly things that we think out loud first. Like, that's like the beginning process of getting over
stuff.
The
first step is admitting you have a problem.
Exactly, which Frank demonstrated so lovely when he first came here this morning. But
I mean, so do old church ladies, but I don't criticize them.
I'm going to just...
You got to get...
Oh, okay. You're not going to let me expound on that one,
are you?
You got
to get out. You got to get it out, you know? And it's rough because people don't get that. A lot of people that it doesn't really matter. A lot of people just don't get that, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're getting it out and like that air in the room of like, this guy is so arrogant, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, you're not trying to be, you know what I mean?
No, because I don't even believe in what the character I'm playing that's singing the song is saying.
Right.
It's just...
But it's a real battle that you have fought.
Yes. Yeah. When I was like 17, I didn't know the answers to those questions. They just haunted me all the time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, now you confront it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is like maybe 35% of my brain. Mm. He's just constantly like ripping stuff down.
Mm. Right.
You know? Yeah. Somebody needs to know he exists.
Yeah.
Because what else am I supposed to deal with?
Maybe he can help the next 17-year-old kid or at least be a sounding board.
Somebody goes, oh. And then, because I've had people come up to me after I played that song and be like, were you serious? Because that got dark. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't. It's just an expression of, of kind of a feeling or really an ideology.
Yeah. It's I don't know if... Almost purified, right? You're presenting it in a undiluted form so that other people who also have that guy go, oh, that's that guy.
Well, that's great, man.
I'm fascinated by resentful intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listen to them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of, and I have a little bit of that guy in me too.
Right.
So I kind of, I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But they're so convinced they're right. That part of the thing I like about that song is being like, I feel like the guy that's an evangelical atheist would be like, there it is, bro, that's the gospel. And for me to be like, it's all wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know.
So good. Like, yeah, you got to have justification to stay bitter if you want permission to be there. And again, if you got unbitter, would you be as relevant on your show? And are you scared of that?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, the pus and the pressure. Did you get expound on that?
I don't even remember. Basically, I just said we were the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
it. Well, your first analogy was pus. Yeah. And then when you were explaining it, you pretended to throw up.
Oh, right.
So just any disgusting bodily ejection.
Not
really.
Any. But... but yeah.
Not any.
Quite a few. It's
tears?
Like this...
Hmm? Tears? Does it apply to tears?
I think so.
Yeah, there's a little pressure.
Yeah.
I was crying this morning.
Yeah. Are you really?
Yeah, I was crying this morning.
Oh,
because,
man.
Because... I was watching a guy, it was a YouTube video, and he was trying to, it was like, I'm not going to cry at these, like, veterans meeting their children videos, and I was just listening to the audio, and he ends up actually breaking down in the video, but just hearing the audio, out of nowhere, I was just like, sadness, and I started crying, and I went, oh, great, yeah. This is a great way to start out the morning.
That's fantastic.
Some sort of bittersweet, you know, but whatever.
I love that.
So when you were talking about the cycle, you were talking about a cycle of creating. Have we kind of went around that cycle? Because I feel like we're missing part of what you were trying to articulate.
Well, so that's like the next step. After I write that song, and I, especially after I performed it a couple times, that guy really quieted down a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it is an interesting thing where... You have life experiences or thoughts or feelings, and then you express them into a thing, and then that thing affects you back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's kind of like growth and change.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting, but that's kind of like what I mean by that cycle.
Yeah.
Because now you're a new person, you've learned new stuff, you have a deeper sense of emotion around this thing.
Yeah.
And so now you've grown, and so now you have more material to write about, you know?
Yeah,
no, that's crazy.
So, I think it's a cool
There's
idea.
Times when I'm listening back to songs like I wrote 5-10 years ago and remembering where I was mm-hmm. when I wrote that song. Mm-hmm. And it's just this weirdest feeling. Sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and hug that kid. you know, or just thinking even, usually a thought that's pretty close to that is, you know, how many other people feel like that right now? Which is, like, interesting with you talking about that. Because that's what I think, you know. How many 17-year-olds are, like, struggling with that question, those questions.
Yeah.
You know? And there's so many people, like, older generations, like, man, we want to be there for people, you know. And some kid's like, yeah, well, God doesn't exist. And here's why. And if he did, why is all this pain there?
Yeah.
And they're like, well,
yeah.
You know what? I'll get
yep.
back to you.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You
it's
really,
the worst,
you
man.
Really don't
no.
if you're not willing to... You know, take those questions on and walk through life with a person.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I get why it's scary, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like everybody, especially people raised in a religious culture, they'll have a moment where they go, well, okay, maybe cussing's not a sin. You know, like around 14, I started figuring
Frank,
out.
How
went,
dare you say
well,
that?
Well, I love cussing, but you know, I want to respect your format. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have that thought. And then I at least I'm convinced I have a rational proof. Cussing's all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a contextual thing.
Yeah.
But then
I do that too.
Every adult, you know, since I was raised, has been going, "Don't, that's bad, that's evil, that's a sin." And I go, oh, every adult thinks something that's wrong that's not wrong at like 13 and 14.
Right.
So then you go, okay,
how
well, what about
more?
This?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And it's so easy to just spiral off into the other side of the road. You know?
So that's really interesting.
Because
I've never heard that. I've never heard someone say that cussing is a sin.
Oh,
I've
really?
Never heard that.
No,
I have heard.
I haven't, but it's the impression you get.
Yeah,
well,
it's
they
like,
say,
it's
yeah,
not
they
spoken.
Say, Paul, he's like, don't let any crass things come out of your mouth, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just you're less fun.
Well, I think
you gotta break it down. You gotta break it down.
What I think it is I think it's fine to encourage someone not to curse because I think that we frequently rob words of any kind of impact.
Mm-hmm.
We going back to dilution, we dilute the word.
That's good.
And
yeah.
So if you use it flippantly,
right,
it's like it doesn't have power anymore. Not to say that we should in any way regulate usage of words. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But I think like a parent encouraging their kid not to say certain words is helping the kid understand like what words have power.
Kids can't handle it, it's why they don't drive.
Right. But that's not the same thing as it's a sin.
Right.
I don't think that it's a sin.
Yeah,
but.
It's so good. I didn't know if we're gonna dive all into this cussing thing.
Well, I just wanted to side road.
Yeah.
Sorry, but
no, because I have stuff.
Yeah. No, it's a bunch of BC, man.
Yeah, I think I was convinced that it was all right when I read the Old Testament.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stone him.
Yeah. Well,
just stone him.
There's one part, dude, where like the Lord, I can't remember the prophet, but he's the prophet. God says, "Hey, I want you to tell them their worship smells like a dung heap."
Woo! Mars.
Yeah. No. So yeah. Back in the day, like I'm pretty sure, like everybody who was religious was like, "You can't say that."
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, I'm God, and I'm telling my prophet to say that. So yes, I can.
Actually, off the top of my head, I can think of two things that Jesus said that were very. I don't know if you can say it's a curse word, but definitely like a phrase.
It
that
probably was more offensive than had he said a curse word, like those things.
Well, that's the thing, too. You can be way more hurtful without, like,
using profanity.
Yeah, at all. You're bad. You've always been bad, and you're always going to be bad. You can't change.
Yikes.
And you're worthless.
You're horrible.
No cussing.
Good for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now, verbally, I've just removed any ability for that person to retort at all.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, I guess you just see me as bad, and that's my constant state of being."
Yeah, yeah.
That's more hurtful than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's not a big deal. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Add a bleep there so I don't sound like I'm self-censoring. I want to be a vulnerable artist, guys.
Yeah.
I'm presenting my true self.
Yeah.
I walked up on this guy, and I loved it. I was at this barbecue, and a friend of mine was doing this cookout and just inviting everybody to come out. So there's just a grip of, you know, homeless people downtown. There was church people. There was just a grip of everybody, you know, eating at this barbecue. And so I'm hanging out outside of this business, and I walk around the corner, and I see this dude's pretty stocky dude, shaved head, looks like a hoodlum guy, probably mid-20s. And he's got a group of these youngsters around him that look like, you know, little gangbangers, you know, or wannabe little gangbangers because we are in Spokane. So anyway, he's like, "Man, yeah, you ever get wet? You know, PCP, man, you guys know?"
Oh, my God.
Like, and I'm like, so wow. I'm watching this dude, like, what's going on here? And he's talking to these youngsters, and they're like, and then this guy goes into presenting the gospel message, like, with that bait, right? And these kids are, like, just caught up, right? And so I'm just watching this thing, like, what is about to happen here?
What?
And he goes off, dude, for, like, 20 minutes, six of them, totally captive, right? These little hoodlum kids, right? And when he's done, I think, like, one or two of them were like, "Man, I don't know. I don't know about," you know, and wandered off. And four of them followed him the rest of the whole time.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. And so
crazy.
I say that all to say, like, there's been times that I really feel like I've dropped a very intentional curse word in the right spot. And it's changed the whole dynamic of my connection with people that are around me.
Mm.
You know? And it's like all of a sudden they're like, "What? I thought something about it." Like, and now they're listening, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think, like, what you said was important. It's intentional. Anything that we use not thinking about it, you know, language, like, when it's intentional, I feel like it has a place.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, is not a thinking word. It's a word that we use because we want to fill a space. You're like,
Oh, I just briefly meditate all the time.
He
just did it.
That was unironic, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way. So that's interesting to me because a lot of people use curse words in that way. And I would say that that's not preferable.
Yeah.
But when you use words intentionally, they have more meaning. But
yeah, we had no plan on, you know, talking about theology of profanity here, but it happens.
There was one other thing I wanted to say, but I forgot, so it doesn't matter.
You know what's a good thing to say right then?
I did really quietly. Again, unironically.
You know, I'm always willing to talk about theology.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think I'm right.
Just about it in general? Or?
About it in general, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at the cocktail facts.
Yeah.
But, you know, morality's a state of being. More than a list of rules.
Yeah. I think that that's... I guess it depends what you mean by rules.
I guess I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm the first guy at 21 to figure out the Bible entirely.
Yeah, that's that's really cool. Yeah. I really enjoy that.
It probably helps when you have the little guy in your head write songs.
You know? I'm like David, dude. calling out to Christ.
Yeah, I saw a really cool thing on Instagram where Misty Edwards and Rick Pino, these two worship leaders, were talking about emotions and just going after... how a lot of people will talk about worship music and, like, don't get emotional. Like, emotions are human. And they're just like, emotion, like, read about David. Like, if there were skinny jeans back in the day, David would have been totally rocking them. You know, he was, like, the first emo kid ever. Interesting.
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
But there's also people that say, like, David and Jonathan were, like, lovers in the nighttime. So there's a whole bunch of narrative.
I mean, he's a stud, isn't he?
David?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He plays the lute or whatever. he's a great warrior. He's the king.
Yeah.
He had, like, who knows how many wives, and maybe Jonathan.
Yeah, in the night. As well. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy could pull. Oh, you know what?
What we're saying is that he was an attractive... person.
He was a man after God's own heart. Are you saying God's heart isn't something to pursue?
Hold up. If we're going to go into this, like, come on now. All right, Samuel the prophet shows up in town, and he's like, I'm an anoint king. Mm. And Jesse invites every son to come to that meeting except for David.
Yeah. Okay, he knew he was just going to win.
Oh, you think that's what
I think he's just a dead ringer.
Okay.
And nobody likes the guy that's the best.
Okay. Even the father.
Anybody! Imagine
a perfect
guy. I
don't like my son that's the stud. No, I'm bringing all the okay kids so that they can get picked first.
I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, I have to
listen. I'm no biblical scholar. I don't know anything about the Bible.
I frequently wonder what that's about because there seems to be a tradition in the Bible of gypping the youngest kid, right? Like the older kids get all the stuff, particularly the very oldest, and then the younger you are, the more left out you get.
Yeah. Mm. What's up with that?
And then the father could even try to change that. Yeah. And then the other brothers are like, not dealing with that.
Yeah. That's one of my questions for the Lord. It's like, Lord, how come you come up with so many rules that you end up breaking later? You know, like the first son gets the blessing, but now like I'm going to repeatedly bless the younger kid.
Well,
I think it
was because he would like make a statement in a specific situation, and then they're like, okay, this is a tradition now. And he's like, that's not really what I meant. I meant, like, this particular time.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe in the idea that God really has a plan.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because, if you think of the Bible, as like, in a fundamentalist way, where you just believe it's all historical truth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you actually, if you do think that, then what's the deal with Noah? He literally just goes, oh, crap, it didn't turn out good. Oh, wait, there's one guy. That's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get rid of the rest of it. He was just going to wipe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think...
That's the plan?
Well,
no,
it probably wasn't the plan. Yeah. I think the issue is there's a variable, which is humans, right? Humans.
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's what I love about Christianity, man. It's one of the only like major religions that requires the consent of the human back to God.
Right.
In order to get a true, genuine connection. But, I didn't mean to make it a serious statement. I was trying to just say something funny. I don't remember. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus is cool.
Is kind of like a, like, well, I mean, like, how Jesus works, right, is literally like, oh, crap, they aren't doing it.
Right.
Here's a guy. It's like the best chess move ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to go, well, that was planned from the beginning. You don't need a savior if there's a perfect plan. Why would you make part of the plan that everybody sucks and does terribly?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case.
Well, I don't think... Well, a lot of people were like, well, Adam was plan A and Jesus was plan B. Uh-huh. I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
Yeah.
I think what kept happening was because he requires human consent, it was over time, it was...
That's really
and he was asking. Right. And we were saying yes and not doing yes.
Yeah.
And so eventually he was like, I'm gonna set the record. And then that's what Jesus is. I don't think it's like, okay, Adam, like you do this thing, right. And then he's like, okay, well, you sucked it up, so I'm going to get this guy to do it. Right. And then he didn't do it. Okay, I'll get this guy. Okay, well, fine. I guess I'll just send Jesus. You know, I don't think it was exactly like that, but
yeah.
I'll do it myself.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah, because it's like I heard a guy one time. He came to this. It was like a church meeting, and he opens up his time with, just so you guys know, God is not in control. You know, and it was kind of like I think the feeling in the room was similar to what, you know, Frank experienced after playing a song, you know, like, and some people I think left.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But and he went on, and I was completely convinced by the end of it, like, that is absolutely right, you know? So it's just interesting, a point to bring up, because I think that where I'm at right now, and this could change in a year, because I grow. And if I don't, hopefully you smack me in the face. But anyway, maybe not. But
singing covers at an open mic.
So, you know, I think that the Lord has hopes. You know what I mean? He's like, man, this is what I dream and this is what I hope. And like, hey, let's do this. But you're the one calling the shots. You know, I'm willing to like empower you. But, you know, I gave you this power. And then he's like, oh, man, I wish I would just do what I'm telling them, like, is the best way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you have to factor in free will somehow at some point. Because if we don't have at least, you know, regardless of what your theology is, if we have no choice
there's
at
no
all.
There's no conviction.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
Exactly.
Why would you feel guilty about anything?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do it. You wouldn't feel good or special about doing something good either.
Yeah, because even if you did it. You didn't choose to do it.
Yeah,
it was always supposed to happen that way. So I think it robs us of power,
right.
And B, it downplays the significance of error. And so I think you have to factor in free will.
I agree. I talk about free will in The Sophist, actually.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear this. When do we get to hear this song?
Should we rep it?
Play it for you right now.
Should we rep it on the podcast? Should we?
Where is it at? Do you have
it's
it on Spotify?
It's not out on anything, actually.
Looking forward.
I would love to put it out because I think it's a really interesting song.
Yeah. But
should we play like a little clip of it at the beginning of the podcast? Like 15 seconds?
Yeah,
is
that'd
it produced?
Be cool. I was thinking we should play.
No,
we should play.
Have it produced.
We should play something at the beginning of the podcast.
Of
Frank's. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where to go from here. You want to talk about some of your music? Talk about where
my
you're
music.
At with it in this journey?
Yeah, I've been writing about how I suck.
Yeah.
I've been writing about how I suck. I feel like I'm not really connecting with people genuinely, and I'm just going to keep trying until I feel like I do.
Yeah.
That's really all there is to it. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I get that.
Just
keep
going. Did I get something on my face all this
time? No, you got it off your face, but it's on your shirt now.
What is that?
I think you're tearing apart these guys, and they're just kind of fluttering everywhere.
Oh, my God. I didn't even realize I was doing that.
I realized it, but I didn't want to.
I guess it was Adderall.
when you're crying because of, you know, military people re-engaging with their kids, you got to do something.
My mind. I got to take it off of this.
Oh,
man. Well, there were a bunch of shots of espresso in that, maybe.
Yeah. So that's where you're at with musical journey.
Yeah, like I just wrote a song last week about that and stuff.
Yeah, I want to get you back in the studio.
Well, I would love to come back. Yeah,
I think, to kind of touch on what you were saying, I think pretty much American culture in general is kind of set up so that people are separate. You know, the very idea of the American dream is almost one of segregating yourself from people. Like, everybody has a fence to keep all the people out. And you go into your house where your family lives. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go there, and you're going to close the door. And if somebody comes, they better come invited.
Right.
It's like, why are you ringing my doorbell? You know what I'm saying? You came into my yard where my fence is.
Right.
You know?
Unless somebody does something wrong to somebody behind that fence, no, we're all going to rally together to come help.
And we're just going to go right in there. That's basically what we do.
Did I
around
mess
the
you
world.
Up? I probably did. I just
no,
mess
that
you
was pretty much it. But I was. But that's a good point too, because that's what America does all around the world.
Yeah,
it's like let's solve everyone's problems incredibly poorly.
It's very
that's what I'm
dude.
Saying.
It is like the It is the perfect picture of the worst enabling mother that's ever existed, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said worst at the beginning, and that's sad because they're not helping anyone.
Yep.
But a lot of times, minus America maybe, their heart's in the right place. I just said that. you can't help everyone. First of all, that's just ridiculous to think, to be that proud and arrogant that you could. And then two, you know, giving people handouts and, you know, people need to hit impact. Like we're talking about, you know, life happens. Like it's got to hurt, you know, for you to grow and change.
We kind of live in a fake world now almost. We outsource a lot of our political beliefs and emotions and feelings and everything.
Yeah.
You know, people don't spend a lot of time shutting everything down and going, okay, I'm going to study myself.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
that's good.
It's more like, oh, a bunch of people are mad about this thing and that makes them good people. I'll be mad about it. You know,
yeah. Jimmy Kimmel is telling me I should be upset about this thing that Trump did. So I'm going to be furious.
Oh, late night's so bad now, man.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's really sad.
It's not even funny anymore.
Well, and no, it keeps you, what happens is it keeps you distracted from what's really going on with you. You know what I mean? Like, and then you have a major breakdown later in life when stuff does quiet down and you don't have a bandwagon to jump on. And you're like, oh, what's wrong with me?
No, people, they should realize that we all have a parasite living in us called our stomach. And it's going to get you one day.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going to get you. It's going to get you.
Yeah. That's your real problem.
You should schedule your breakdown, like, yearly, at least yearly. Like, schedule a mini breakdown over a weekend. You know what I mean? Like, once, like... Not around your vacation time.
Yeah. No, my mom does that. She always picks May 12th for some reason.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that... Wait, oh, that's Sunday, isn't it?
It's Mother's Day. Yeah. Oh. It was a joke.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just didn't want to clap. But I can't.
Do I feel like
I
feel like I need to encourage Frank not to forget to bless his mom.
I'll
on
bless
Sunday.
My mom,
okay,
man.
Okay, okay. It's like...
I didn't choose to be here.
But you are choosing to stay here.
That's true. That is true.
You got the day off of this.
You know, I'm pretty sure I'm a consistent source of stress in her life. So I might as well do something nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Okay. Well, so me and Justin have been talking. Not even talking. Yesterday was our first one. So scheduling might change, but we have been talking about once every couple of weeks, maybe twice a month, once a month, somewhere in there, having like a collab session where we invite, you know, different artists and stuff to come and jam out.
Oh, great.
For the purpose of catching something in the moment, right? So catching an idea, catching something that could continue on and become a song. And kind of using those as a time for us to connect and just adding different flavors of art, you know, to see what
great.
Happens.
Yeah.
And using the content to, you know, what's the word? To promote, to blast it out for all you guys fine folks to hear what happens when you get different people together.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
the sound that might emerge.
I just think it'll be really fun because I think that's something that... very few genres are really good at is going outside genre. And so I think a great example is Pendulum, which is like a electronic progressive rock dance drum and bass thing.
That's so many things.
It's so many things.
That's too many things. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm putting my foot down.
Have you heard?
I haven't heard it.
It is too many things.
That's too many things.
But they did a song with a Swedish death metal band and it's phenomenal.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I think there's so many benefits to going outside genre and stretching that not a lot of artists really do all that much.
Yeah.
And so I think it'll be really fun. But.
Well, it's interesting what Frank was saying and just about where he's at in music, you know, and just writing about feeling disconnected or whatever. And then cool, like pressuring yourself, like I'm going to put myself out there till
I'm just
going to
keep doing it.
Authenticity, right?
I'm not that special. People out there must... There must be people out there that'll connect with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm just dumb. You know, I'm not that good, so it's fine.
Well, so like this idea I've been thinking about lately, it's been coming up a lot, is are we fully who we're meant to be outside of the context of family or relationships or community, you know? Like, and this is really exciting when it comes to art, because it's like your sound might bring a new sound out of me that I didn't know was there before, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's super important for us to just to find out, like, what else is in there, you know? And, like, how does my sound going to affect you guys? And, you know, and experimenting with that, you know? But truer even on the sense of just relationally, you know, like, you being in my life is going to make me better, you know? And then the fun of translating that to sound and music is, I always, that's why I wanted, I originally talked to Justin about calling the podcast Jambalaya. Because I have this idea of, like, jambalaya is, like, this, you know, this dish where you throw all these different ingredients in. But, like, when you marinate it, like, the sauce becomes the flavor of kind of all the ingredients involved.
Sure.
You know.
So wait, what Steve's saying, he wants to get saucy with you.
Yeah. Let's get saucy.
Hey, man.
Let's get saucy.
Okay. Rub each other's bellies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He circled it back in. That was great.
I do what I can.
That was like watching somebody tie a shoe with one hand.
Yeah, man, I got it.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. I don't see the point, really, but it's nice.
Yeah. So where can people find your stuff?
People can find my stuff on all the regular platforms, YouTube Music, Apple Music, Spotify, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Frank Sinclair.
Yeah, but I'm dumb. So when I first uploaded it, I decided to use my middle name instead of my last name. And then I went, oh, you're not ever going to blow up. So just use your name.
Yeah.
So now I'm using my name. But if you want to find my music, you have to look up the actual EP title and my name, Frank Leighton.
Leighton. So it's L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N.
On any of those things, Battleships and Wishes, Frank. And it'll probably come up.
Yeah, yeah, Battleships and Wishes is the name of the EP, which he did
And then
here.
Just filter search it for an album, guys.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
No, it can be done.
I mean, apparently it is. It's got, like, no views. I don't know.
America.
I streamed it when it came out.
We're fixing it.
But,
yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's definitely, I'm glad
I
could validate.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, you definitely captured, like, do I really want to go into this, right? Because it seemed like you were wrapping it up. I apologize.
Well, you went there, so let's go there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, it was like it was stripped down in a way that feels very intimate. And so it's very, like, it was like we were alone together in a room. You were just singing right to me.
Yeah, it was kind of my idea. Yeah, I was listening to old Beatles songs.
Yeah,
it's going to have four instruments, and they make it sound so full.
Yeah.
And so I went, okay, well, what if you took songs you've written and just made really intricate, complicated parts on four instruments? Yeah.
I was going to compare you to the Beatles, but then I was like, no. Nah,
that's too big of a compliment.
Yeah,
honestly.
But then you did it yourself, and so now I feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty much Paul McCartney. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Dude, rep it. What's up?
All right. So I thought we were diving in deeper than that from just your...
I'm trying to just control myself, so...
All right, well, you guys, is there anything else you guys want to go into? I don't know where we're at for time.
Release your inhibitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scram.
Feel the... What's it? Something on your skin. It's a song.
It is a song.
No one else can do it for you.
You know what we really need right now is you do the finger thing, and then we say goodbye.
Don't call it that.
Oh, wait. Do you guys do recommendations, right?
Oh, yeah. Throw out some of that.
Well, how could you let me forget that, Stevie?
I don't know.
Who did a rec
last
time?
You usually just remember.
I
think it was because you went back. You tied your shoe with one hand.
And yeah. That was all of my daily allocated brain power.
Right.
Allocated.
See, I already used it.
Yeah,
that's
why I
used the word allocated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's gone already.
It's my new band.
Some shout outs.
Allocated.
Shout outs.
Do you have a shout out? Do you have a shout out? Do some recs.
I can think of some shout outs.
I do. I got to go get my phone because I can't remember the name of the song.
Here, okay. I'll
shout some stuff out.
Personal shout out to my ex-girlfriend Cassidy. She's pretty. She has a new boyfriend now. He's probably better than I was. Good for you. You moved up in the world. Like 7 out of 10 at kissing. Very good.
Very
shout
nice.
Out to her.
I meant like musical shoutouts.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Quagga Dog. Look up Quagga Dog. My friend Ryan James from high school, he's got a new band. I am not exactly sure how to spell it. It's very difficult.
Quagga Dog.
It's sounds... kind of like Quahog a Dog. I want to give them a shout out because they did a really cool. It's kind of like rocky, rolly music, but they do a lot of really cool stuff with rhythm. Like there's just lines in certain songs where they slow down and speed up.
I love it.
It's Quagga Dog. And their single's Trippin', and their EP just came out, and I listened to it, and I liked it. Good job, Ryan. You're a cool guy.
Stevie, you got your rec?
I can't figure out how to get this back to this playlist.
Dude, but... I got more. Rex Orange County, Sondre Lerche. Check out these people, man. They're like some of my favorites.
Oh, his faves. He's unleashing his faves.
The lead singer from Fun came out with an album a couple years ago. Oh. They got really underlooked. It's an amazing album. I didn't think it got appreciated nearly enough. His name's Nate Russ or Ress. It's spelled like Guess, but with an R.
Nice. Okay.
People should check him out. His album, Grand Romantic, I think.
I didn't even know that he did an album.
Oh, it's great.
What's his
name? It's really good.
I'm sorry.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Nate Russ or something. Okay. It's spelled like the word Guess, but with an R in the front.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is Ruslan, a hip hop artist that was formerly with the Dream Junkies. He's getting ready to drop a new album, and he released a single from that album called Future Me. I listened to it this morning. I'm really, really liking what he's doing. It sounds like the future of hip-hop coming out right now, of like where things could go in a good way, at least for me. You know, I'm like,
okay, awesome.
Cool. So Ruslan, Future Me, be on the lookout for his album coming out, which I don't know what it's titled, but it's not that hard, like Frank said. You know, look up Ruslan,
Google
Future
it.
Me. You should find out quick.
Do you like conspiracy theory rap?
I probably could like
It's amazing. Everybody look up Odd TV in America.
Odd TV.
It will blow your mind.
Okay.
Hopefully, ironically. But he's very serious.
Is it like a flatter thing or?
Oh, it's. He's figured it out, man. He's got it down.
Yeah.
It's great. All right. So funny. And it's actually pretty well produced and done, too.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to listen to, which is also cool. But it's just, he's out there speaking his truth.
Yeah.
It's great. That's great.
The only rec I have is The Deer Hunter. Deer is spelled D-E-A-R.
Hmm.
And it's I don't know how to describe the genre. It's like progressive something, rock something. I don't know. But it's very interesting. They do a lot of tempo change, time signature, overlap.
So they're writing to a person named Hunter?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. A lot of their albums are acts. So they have Act 1 is an album, Act 2 is an album.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, and so they do albums outside of that storyline. Yeah. But
tell me a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There once was a penguin. Anyway, so... Yeah, so The Deer Hunter is pretty great. That's what I got
awesome.
For today.
Awesome. All right, Sound Mind Podcast, thanks for coming. Frank.
Thanks for having me.
Skytree Studios. We're here at Zion Spokane.
See, you started doing the finger thing now.
This is legitimate, though, dude. I'm doing it. This is coming, like, from a real place. You're like, I don't know. You guys be the judge, but till next time.